This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
अस्सलाम वालेकुम, मेरा नाम है अभी, मेरा उम्र है 9 साल का। सुबह 6 बजे उठता हूँ, मैं सिपारा पढ़ने जाता हूँ। सिपारा आज ही मैं नाश्ता करके चला जाता हूँ कबाड़ चुनने। कबाड़ ले आता हूँ, आज ही कंडे में बेच देता हूँ। ₹100 मैं अबू को दे देता हूँ, कभी मैं भी रख देता हूँ, शौक से मैं मलाई खा देता हूँ। अगर कोई आसपास स्कूल मिल गया तो मैं दायल होना चाहता हूँ, पढ़ना चाहता हूँ। मैं बड़ा होकर फिर फौजी अफसर बनना चाहता हूँ।
मैं पढ़ना चाहती हूँ,
मैं भी पढ़ना चाहती हूँ,
मैं भी पढ़ना चाहता हूँ,
मैं पढ़ना चाहता हूँ।
अस्सलाम वालेकुम, मेरा नाम है अभी, मेरा उम्र है 9 साल का। सुबह 6 बजे उठता हूँ, मैं सिपारा पढ़ने जाता हूँ। सिपारा आज ही मैं नाश्ता करके चला जाता हूँ कबाड़ चुनने। कबाड़ ले आता हूँ, आज ही कंडे में बेच देता हूँ। ₹100 हो जाते, मैं अबू को दे देता हूँ, कभी मैं भी रख देता हूँ, शौक से मैं मलाई खा देता हूँ। अगर कोई आसपास स्कूल मिल गया तो मैं दायल होना चाहता हूँ, पढ़ना चाहता हूँ। मैं बड़ा होकर फिर फौजी अफसर बनना चाहता हूँ।
मैं पढ़ना चाहती
हूँ,
मैं भी पढ़ना चाहती हूँ,
मैं भी पढ़ना चाहती हूँ,
मैं पढ़ना चाहता हूँ।
अस्सलाम वालेकुम, मेरा नाम है अभी, मेरा उम्र है 9 साल का। सुबह 6 बजे उठता हूँ, मैं सिपारा पढ़ने जाता हूँ। सिपारा आज ही मैं नाश्ता करके चला जाता हूँ कबाड़ चुनने। कबाड़ खबर ले आता हूँ, आज करने में भेज देता हूँ। सौ रुपया 200 रुपया हो जाते मैं अबू को दे देता हूँ, कभी मैं भी रख देता हूँ, शौक से मैं मलाई खा देता हूँ। अगर कोई आस पास स्कूल मिल गया तो मैं दायल होना चाहता हूँ, पढ़ना चाहता हूँ, मैं बड़ा होके फिर फौजी अफसर बनना चाहता हूँ।
मैं पढ़ना
चाहता हूँ। अस्सलाम वालेकुम, मेरा नाम है अभी, मेरा उम्र है 9 साल का। सुबह 6 बजे उठता हूँ, मैं सिपारा पढ़ने जाता हूँ। सिपारा आज ही मैं नाश्ता करके चला जाता हूँ कबाड़ चुनने।
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Hope everybody is well. For those who are on this part of the world, this side of the world, hope the Ramadan, the fast is going well. Firstly, let me start off with the fact that, can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? If you can just type in, if you can hear us, then we can inshallah carry on. Are we getting the responses? I guess if we get no response, then nobody can hear us. I guess that's how it is. Okay, yes, there'll be... anyway, inshallah, if you can hear me, I'm hoping that your fast is going very well. Alhamdulillah, we have only about an hour left for iftar. So guys, are we good to go? Can they hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, alhamdulillah, tayyib. Okay, so inshallah, just a brief recap. Yesterday we went over khushu, we went over the four components of salah. Today what I want to start off with is the virtue of salah and the importance of salah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the first thing man will be asked on the day of judgment will be about salah. Just imagine this, that the first thing that you will be taken into account with or regarding will be salah. Now this is a ajeeb thing. Now, I want to place a scenario here, make this live. Imagine, there was a king, and this king said to an individual, I am going to put you into prison for 5 years. After those 5 years, I am going to take you out of the prison, and then I am going to ask you one question. If you manage to answer that one question correctly, then you are free to go. You are free to go. You can go wherever you want. You can actually enjoy the luxuries of my kingdom and I will look after you. But if you fail that one question, then you will go back into prison for 75 years. Meaning the rest of your life, you will rot in prison. 3 life sentences. So now this man is in prison 5 years. The only thing on his mind will be, what is that question the king is going to ask me? What is that question? And then out of the blue, a person comes to him and says to him, you know what? I actually know what the king is going to ask you. Can you imagine the excitement? And he says to him, I will tell you what the king is going to tell you, ask you. Can you imagine how excited this individual would be? SubhanAllah, how happy, how elated he would be. And then when he stands in front of the king asks him the very question that the person told him that he would ask him, and he answers it right. So imagine this. Imagine on the day of judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said, the first thing Allah will ask his servant is about salah. Allahu Akbar. We've been given the answer. The first thing that Allah will ask you about is your salah. The Prophet ﷺ then went on to say, if you pass your salah, the question of your salah, you will pass all the others. And if you fail the question regarding your salah, if your salah wasn't up to the standard that Allah wanted, you didn't pray, or you didn't pray in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to pray, then you will fail everything else. Allah has given us the answer for the question that He will ask us, which will give us eternal success. And subhanallah, this is all this is about, having faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a strong belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to Bilal, Ya Bilal, arihna bi salah. Oh Bilal, give us calmness, give us relaxation through salah. The Sahaba, radwanullah ajma'een, would find relaxation in salah. This is the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they would enter into salah, they would become elated, they would become relaxed. Why? Because they are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, qurratu ayni fi salah, la ilaha illallah. This is an Arab term. It translates loosely as qurratu ayni, the coolness of my eyes is in salah. Where I am pleased, where I am happy, where, you know, I find the greatest happiness. The Arabs use it like qurratu ayni fi awladi, etc. That the coolness of my eyes is in my children. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said qurratu ayni fi salah, and it's very interesting. He said qurratu ayni fi salah. The coolness of my eyes is in salah. Why? He didn't say bis salah, with salah, he said in salah. So when you engage in salah, you find a sweetness, a contentment, a calmness, a pleasure. Why? Because you're talking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi said a beautiful statement. He said that there is a garden. There is a garden in this dunya. If you do not enter that garden in this dunya, then you will not enter the gardens of paradise. He said that garden in this dunya is the sweetness of iman. The sweetness of iman. And they, wallahi, I don't believe that there is any other place where we can have a greatness of sweetness of iman than salah. So this is subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ defined it as coolness of his eyes. And we need to make our salah the coolness of our eyes. When we stand in salah, you know, we must be a transformed individual. We must prepare for that salah. Imagine, subhanallah, why salah is something ajeeb. Wallahi, salah is something that's ajeeb. Imagine you wanted to speak to somebody really important. Let's say the most important person in the UK. You won't get the Queen, obviously, the Queen's in mourning. So imagine you wanted an audience with Bojo. So you want to speak to Bojo, and now you're ringing your MP, you're ringing. You're very unlikely that Bojo is going to give you the time of day. You're not going to see the Prime Minister. It's difficult enough seeing your local MP. Bojo isn't going to give you time. Allahu Akbar, imagine this. Now this is where Iman comes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a believer stands in prayer, huwa yunaji rabbah. All you have to do if you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is say, Allahu Akbar, huwa yunaji rabbah. He's speaking to his Lord. Allahu Akbar. The King of all kings. The Khalik, the Malik, the Raziq. That you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is attentive towards you as long as you are attentive towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read the entire night and your heart is in salah and you're attentive in salah, imagine la ilaha illallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attentive towards you. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, oh Allah, I have this desire to meet you. Salah is the mirage of a believer. If you want to meet Allah in this dunya, if you want to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, then pray salah. Pray salah, but pray salah in a manner that you're passionate. Passionate, that's the word. You know, we are passionate about, if you're young, about your football team, you're passionate. Every Saturday, you know, you're thinking, oh, Chelsea playing. Oh, Villa playing. And if you're a Villa fan, you know, often you're a bit upset after the match all Saturday. But you're passionate about it. Your dramas are on and you're Urtugrul finish and you want to watch the next one. And you want to watch that. And you're binge watching because you're passionate. What about your salah? Question, isn't it? Who are you, Naji Rabbah? A person who is praying salah is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can't wait to get out of his salah. Imam reads a couple of ayats extra and he says, there's a hoo-ha. Why is the Imam reading so long? Why is he reading? Why? Because we are not passionate about our salah. We need to be passionate, wallahi, about our salah. We need to believe that if our heart is in salah, and I keep coming back to the word heart, our heart is in salah, that we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most beautiful examples of this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salatu salam in the Quran, and he says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. He says, oh Musa, what's that in your right hand? قَالَ هِيَ أَصَايَا. Musa alayhi salatu salam says, it's my staff, it's my stick. That was the question. Allah just asked him, what's in your right hand, Musa? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to throw it and then he would turn into a serpent. Musa said, قَالَ هِيَ أَصَايَا أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. You know, this is my staff and I lean upon it. وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَبِي. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَى. He says, I also knock down the leaves from the trees with it. And it has other benefits. The question was what? Musa, what's in your right hand? All he had to say, it's my staff. No. He's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to prolong the conversation. So he says, it's not just a staff. It's my staff. What I do, I lean on it. I knock down the leaves from the trees. This is the month of Ramadan. Remember Ramadan, month of Quran. The month of Taraweeh. Man qama Ramadan in imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever stands in the month of Ramadan, iman, with iman, belief, with seeking reward by Allah, Allah will forgive all his previous sins. all his previous sins. Stand in your Taraweeh Salah. You know, subhanAllah, this is the month of Ramadan, and this is why Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, he said beautifully, he said, you will have two standings in front of Allah. You will have two standings in front of Allah. One standing in this dunya and the second on the day of judgment. He said, if you are successful and Allah is pleased with your first standing, then Allah will be pleased when you stand in front of Him on the day of judgment. The first standing is your standing in salah. If my and your salah is accepted by Allah in this dunya, then when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, Allah will, the first thing He will ask us about is our salah. If our salah is accepted in this dunya, then we pass everything else. Brothers, the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was all about dawah. The entire life, and you know what they say, you know, you have an introduction, then you have the body, and then you have the conclusion. The life, the final words, the conclusion. When in your final part of your life, you say the most important things, isn't it? So if a person is passing away, he will say the most important things. He will say, you know, I have this wealth, I have this debt to pay, please sort it out. I love you, forgive me. All the most important things. And then the final thing that he would say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to say the words, the shahada, when we leave shahadatain, when we leave this dunya. What were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ali radiallahu anhu says, as related by Imam Muslim in his sahih, what were the final words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As-salah. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ Allahu Akbar. He said, look after your salah. The final words, look after your salah. Look after your salah and look after your slaves. Be good to your slaves. These were the final words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, I want to, and for those, as I mentioned yesterday, please have a pen and paper because this part is really important. I want to go through the categories which Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned. There are five categories of people who pray in his book Al-Wa'ib al-Tayyib min Kalimat al-Tayyib. He mentions the five categories of people, and this is really, really important that we understand this. So Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi, so he says the first category, the lowest category of salah is this, is that this is the level of one who is negligent and wrongs his soul. He is the one who falls short of performing wudu properly. He doesn't perform his wudu properly, and we will go, inshallah, through wudu later on. So he doesn't perform his wudu properly like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him. Performing the prayer, and he doesn't perform the prayer on time and nor within its specified limits, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And he doesn't fulfill the, and he falls short in fulfilling the essentials, the pillars of the salah. He says this is the lowest level. This is the lowest level. And I will come back to each one. What does this mean? Maybe he doesn't pray his salah, so he doesn't do his wudu properly. He doesn't pray his salah in the prescribed manner. Maybe he does qadha of his salah, or maybe what he does is that he prays salah in his makruh time. So when the final time is of salah, and that's when he quickly prays. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people who pray salatul asr, when the color of the sun changes, and then quickly, like a hen, their sajdas are two kind of pecks. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined that as the salatul munafiqeen. The salah of a munafiq, only a munafiq would pray salah in that manner. So this is a person. So this is the lowest level. And why is khushu important in salah? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person according to his khushu. So the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have degrees of salah. 10, they start from 10. And they go lower, 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 lower until they go to zero. That you get no reward for your salah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that salah is taken to the heavens. And if it is a good salah, the salah says to the person, Hafidhakallah, kama hafidhani. May Allah preserve you like you preserve me. But if he doesn't pray, if he prays salah in a manner where he doesn't do his wudu properly, he delays his salah, he doesn't pray in the specified manner, then the Prophet ﷺ says that salah says to that person, Dhayakallah kama dhayatani. May Allah waste you, may Allah destroy you like you destroyed me and wasted me. And then that salah is taken, it's wrapped up in a cloth and it's thrown back into the face of that person who prays. So remember, this is the first person. I will come back to this. That's why I said it's important. If you have a pen on paper, it would be very good. And if you have any questions, inshallah, you can ask the questions whilst I'm speaking. If I have time at the end, inshallah, I will endeavor to answer them. Okay. Because we want to finish around about 7:40, so people can make their way to the masajid, etc. The second is a person, so the second level is the level of one who guards his habits of offering his prayer on time, so he prays on time, and prays with the specified limits. He fulfills the essential pillars and performs his wudu with care. So he's done everything. Apparently he's done everything right. Done the wudu properly, prayed on time, prayed within a specific pillar, taking into consideration the pillars, the essentials. However, his striving in achieving the above is wasted due to disturbances in thoughts during prayer and distracts him and turns his attention to other preoccupations and concerns. So this is a person who prays his salah fine, it looks fine, but when he is praying his salah, his mind is somewhere else. He's thinking about other things. And this is something which the Salaf would do, they will seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from khushu in nifaq. What is khushu in nifaq? The khushu of hypocrisy. The khushu of hypocrisy is that apparently the person is reading like this. Everything looks fine, but his heart is somewhere else. They would define this as the khushu of nifaq. That this is hypocrisy. That apparently for the people, you're praying salah, your eyes are in the right place, your hands are in the right place, but the khushu of nifaq, but your mind is somewhere else. For those who have go to the masjid, I'm sure we've all seen people when they're praying salah, you'll have that those odd individuals when they're praying salah and they're looking around. Yeah, so they're looking around at this, but they're not actually moving head, but their eyes are all over the show, and it looks so bad. It looks wow. You know, and often, you know, these people are known, and they're pointed out, you know, this guy, as soon as you walk past him, he's like giving you eye contact. Yeah. We say it's so bad that a person looks around in salah, and obviously a person shouldn't look around in salah, he should be looking at his place of sujood. But where our hearts are in salah, that only Allah knows, isn't it? SubhanAllah. Our eyes are where they should be, but our heart is somewhere else. And the most important thing in salah is that our heart is in the right place. Now, I've mentioned these two categories. Now let me go to the third category. The third category is that person who does all the aforementioned. And in salah, he's in a tussle, a tug of war with shaitan. Shaitan is trying to distract him from his salah. And sometimes shaitan gets the better, and sometimes he gets the better. So this is the third person. The reason I'm mentioning this is because I am going to give the ruling regarding every single one of these people according to Ibn al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh. So this is the third person. The fourth person, listen to this, is the level of one who carries out the prayer, completing and perfecting it, its due rites and essential pillars, who performs it within the specified limits and his heart is fully engrossed in the salah. His salah is fully engrossed in the salah. So nothing of his prayer is wasted. So nothing of his prayer is wasted. Now I'm going to go over these four again. And I'm going to give you the rulings which Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi gives. The first person who is negligent and wrongs his soul is a person, you know, who doesn't do his wudu properly, performing the prayer on time. He doesn't pray on time. He doesn't pray within the specified limits. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said, although this person is praying, Allah will punish him. Although this person is praying, Allah will punish him. The second person who guards everything, who prays within the limit, prays on time, does a wudu all right as well, but as soon as he starts his salah, his mind is somewhere else, his heart is somewhere else, he's not concentrating in the qira'at, his heart is somewhere else, he's thinking about everything else, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said, Allah will take this person into account. If Allah wishes, Allah will forgive him. And if Allah wishes, Allah will punish that person. Allahu Akbar. The reward hasn't even started yet. Third person. Does it wudu fine? Prays within the specified time. Everything is fine. And then he's in a tug of war with shaitan. Shaitan is trying to move his mind this way. And he manages to sometimes win, sometimes shaitan gets the better of him, then he remembers and then he pulls it back and he starts concentrating in salah again. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said that this person will be a person who Allah will forgive. Allah will be forgiving his sins. The reward has not even started. Not that Allah will reward him for his salah, Allah will forgive him for his sins. So what that salah will do is that it will forgive him for his sins, but he won't even start getting rewarded. And this is, subhanAllah, you know, our state sometimes in salah. A man came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and he said, Imam Sahib, I have lost my money. Imam Sahib said, go and pray two rakats. He said, huh? I've lost my money, give me some wadhifa, give me something else, you know, tell me something else. Imam Abu Hanifa said, go and pray salah. He said, I've lost my money, praying salah isn't going to help. He said, go and pray two rakat nafil. He went to pray two rakat nafil and he starts praying, he says, salah. And all of a sudden he remembers where he put the money. You know, sound familiar? Often, Allah protect us. Often we start our salah, those things that we couldn't remember since morning, all of a sudden shaitan brings them. Why? Because the greatest thing that shaitan wants to do is distract you from your salah. That's what he wants to do. That's why we have A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem when we start our Surah Fatiha. We will go through that inshallah later on. So Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi, then the fourth person, that person whose heart is totally and utterly engrossed in the salah, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi said, this is the person who will get reward. So the first three categories don't even get any thawab for their salah. It is the fourth category. And then the fifth category, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from a minimum of the fourth, and may Allah one day make us amongst the fifth. And that is that this is the level of the one who carries the prayer like the one mentioned above. However, on top of this, he has taken and placed his heart in front of his Lord. His heart is in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking towards him with heart in anticipation, filled with love and the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though he witnesses Allah, ihsan. And تعبد الله كأنك تراه وإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. And تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That you worship Allah like you are seeing Allah. And if not, then you have this firm conviction at least that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. Now, you might be thinking, oh, if this is the case, then what's the point of praying? If you're going to pray and you're going to get punished, okay? Or the second time you're going to be taken into account, then what's the point of praying? No, look. The person who prays is far greater than that person who doesn't pray, even if his salah is the first type. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that the only thing which differentiates a believer from a disbeliever is salah. The only thing which differentiates a believer from a disbeliever is salah. Although, and in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man taraka salatan muta'ammidan faqad kafar." Whoever foregoes a salah intentionally, then he has committed disbelief. Although the fuqaha give this a kind of a lenient interpretation, and they don't take it generally literally beside the Hanabila, still look how strong the words are. So now, how do we deal with this? On one hand, we have this, that the salah is thrown in your face. The way we deal with this, like we deal with everything else in life. Look, if your salah has a shortcoming, then improve it. Like anything else in life, you improve it. You don't throw it in the bin. If you are wearing two shoes and one of your shoes gets damaged, so what do you do? Do you now, because one of your shoes is damaged and you can't wear it, do you now take off your other shoe and throw that away? No, you don't. You try to fix the other shoe, isn't it? Similarly, if you are doing an evil, okay? If you are doing a good, but which and an evil, then... Or are you doing a good action, apparently a good action, but it's not at the limit that it should be. It's not at the type that it should be. Then you endeavor to improve it. And nothing more than salah. You know, we have people who make these lame excuses. You know, no, I'm not ready to pray salah. Na'audhu billah. We're not ready to pray salah. Are you ready to die? You know, do you know how long you are going to live for? So these are the things that if our salah is not complete, then we endeavor to make it a way which we enjoy our salah. We enjoy our salah. That we stand in salah and we are enjoying our salah. We are passionate about our salah. I have a couple of questions here. Okay, is it permissible to do two Isha? So the question is, my question is, at our mosque, they are doing 10 rakats, must be with Isha, and then the mosque is doing another 10 rakats with the second Isha. Is it permissible to do two Isha? No, it's not permissible to do two Ishas. You do one Isha, which I would actually cover if I have time. I think it will be tomorrow, which is a beautiful story of one of the Salaf. But what you can do is pray the one Isha, then pray the 10 rakats, and then if the mosque allow you, then you can come pray, and then you can do your 20 rakats of Dhuha. Sheikh, why don't the Hanafi do Rafadi? What thing when lift hands to ears when move in Salah? Yeah, Habibi. Now, I don't want to go into it, but this is about khushu in Salah, yeah? There's always been ikhtilaf, and these are only questions of ulwiyah. Let me tell you, yeah, Imam Malik was not of the opinion, and many of the Salaf were not of the opinion of doing Raf al-Yadain, and some were of the opinion of doing Raf al-Yadain. And these were people who lived in Khayr al-Qurun, they knew how to pray the Salah. Let me tell you, I don't believe, because it's a valid ikhtilaf, that Allah will ask you on the Day of Judgment, where did you raise your hands or did you not raise your hands? But I'm telling you one thing, 100%. Allah will ask you where your heart was in Salah. That is 100%. If it is your opinion in Salah that after every liqat that you must join feet, that's fine. But if you're spending 30 seconds and 40 seconds and looking down, and if your feet are touching, and that is the, and your heart is somewhere else, then you got your priorities wrong. Because that sometimes that we emphasize on more on the peripheral thing. According to ulama, khushu in salah is wajib. It's wajib. As far as rafal yadain, it's only a masala of awlawiyah. What is better? Is it better to do it? Is it better not to do it? So let's concentrate on where our heart should be in salah. That is the most important thing. The fifth category, I've done the, somebody asked me what is the fifth category, I've done the fifth category, moon sighting. Yeah, this is a course on khushu, not moon sighting. Okay, now, frame of mind before we start our salah, I've only got five more minutes. What is the frame of mind that we should have before we salah? Look, our frame of mind is, you know, we enter salah, we don't, Allahu Akbar, and there's no passion, we have no desire. No, our frame of mind before we start our salah is a positive frame of mind. Yeah? What we are going to ask for Allah, we are positive that Allah will accept our salah. We are positive that the dua that we will make in salah, Allah will accept. We say, ihdina siratal mustaqim. Do we actually, is our heart, when we ask Allah, oh Allah, give us guidance. Give us the siratal mustaqim. We say it so many times. Is our heart in salah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I will deal with my servant how he perceives me to be. So he can think of me however he wishes. Allahu Akbar. This is so strong. And this is a rule that we should have throughout our life. Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I am with my servant how he perceives me to be. So he can think of me however he wishes. Meaning, if you have a positive perception of Allah, then Allah will assist you how you perceive him to be. And if you're negative regarding Allah, then Allah will deal with you in that manner. So when we start our salah, we are positive. When we make the du'as, the Prophet ﷺ said, Udullah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Call, make dua to Allah. Wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba, and you are 100% sure. You are 100% sure that when you make that dua to Allah, Allah will accept that dua. So I mean, imagine if we went into our salah with this frame of mind. Imagine if this is how we went into our this positive frame of mind. You know, concentration, khushu, thinking that we are speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine where our salah wallahi would be. Imagine whatever we did, that we had a firm conviction, oh Allah, I'm standing, I believe 100% I am standing in front of you, ya Allah. And I know you hear everything, and I want my heart to be in salah. You know how important khushu is, and I'm going to finish up on this issue. How important is? Imagine there is a person who lives 75 years. He lives 75 years. And this person says he gets baligh, he becomes mature at the age of 15. This is just to say round figure 15. So now for 60 years he has prayed salah, but he has prayed salah with a 10% khushu. 10% khushu. And you have another person who prays, who becomes baligh at the age, matures at the age of 15, and prays until the age of 22, 7 years. But he has 90% khushu. So you have one person who prayed 60 years with 10% khushu. 10%. And honestly, Allah safeguard us, I fear that some of us may even be less than 10%. And you have another person who prayed only for seven years, but he had 90% khushu. The person who prayed for 7 years will have more khushu, if you calculate it, than that person who prayed for 60 years. And Allah will reward you and I on the basis of our khushu. And the khushu part only Allah knows how much khushu you and I have in salah. And this is why, brothers and sisters, it's very, very important that we endeavor that our salah is strong, that when we stand in salah, that we actually believe that we are praying salah, and that salah is a salah which connects us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to leave it there because obviously many brothers and sisters have to prepare iftar. People have to go to the masajid. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our salah something which is a source of najah for us in the dunya and the akhirah, that on the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us about our salah, Allah is happy about our salah, and we go sailing through everything thereafter. Inshallah, anybody, there's a couple of questions here. I'm going to answer them. So, the question is, how can someone reach the point where they pray as though they can see Allah? The thing is, first we need to reach the fourth, where our heart is totally and utterly engrossed. So these are stages. So stages. So if the first stage, second stage, third stage, and then the fourth stage. So when you reach the fourth stage, where your heart is totally and utterly from beginning to end, that's what it is. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi say that this is the first person who will get rewarded. Before him, the third category, they won't get sinned, and nor will Allah take them into account, but their sins will be forgiven, but they won't get any reward. So this is the fourth category. Now, how do you reach this? The fifth one is where your entire life is that makeup. Your entire life, your entire day. We will discuss this when we discuss the wudu. To a degree, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person before he does wudu, or when he does wudu, how a person wants a person to behave. But this is your entire life. You are engrossed in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you stand in salah, because your entire day is pure, when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are immersed and you forget everything around you. And that question, I think, is from Hamza, one of the students here. So Hamza, hit number four. MashaAllah, maybe you already hit number four. If you hit number four, come and speak to me. I need to take some lessons from you. If you ain't hit number four, if your salah is like your exam results, then you know there's work to be done, brother. There's work to be done. Okay, then what is the fifth one? I've actually mentioned the fifth person, but I'll do it again for somebody's asking me. The fifth, this is the level of one who carries out the prayer like the one mentioned above. However, on top of this, he has taken and placed his heart in front of his Lord, looking towards him and with his heart in anticipation, filled with love and his might. And if he sees and witnesses Allah, the misgiving thoughts and preoccupations have vanished, and the veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been lifted. The difference between this person and others with respect to the prayers is greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. The person is busy with his Lord, delighted with him. So the difference between this person's salah and even the fourth is like the difference between the heaven and the earth. Can we close our eyes for concentration? So the general opinion is that you shouldn't. The fuqaha mentioned that you shouldn't. But then I have as seen the writings of some people of tazkiyah, etc., that if it really empowers your salah, then you can. And I come back to the thing again, it's a khushu. Wallahi, it's all about, and I'm not saying that other things are not important. Of course they're important. They're limits, you know, where your hands are. But the main thing is your khushu. And you can ask me all these questions about eyes, where your eyes are, and I will tell you the thing, where your hands should be and where your feet should be. And I can tell you all these masalas. But only you and Allah know where the heart is. Only you and Allah. You can't come to me and say, oh Shaykh, can you tell me where my heart was in salah? Only you and Allah know. And therefore only you really know the level and the standard of your salah. You know, there's a this story of a for those please for those who need to go, please go. I'm just carrying on for because we have some questions and there's a story. It's a kind of made up. I'm sure it's a made up story. So they're praying the Salah al-Jama'ah, and the Imam, when he finishes, there's a dispute amongst the congregation. Some are saying, Imam Sahib, you prayed 4 rakat. Some are saying, Imam Sahib, you prayed 3 rakat. And so this is ikhtilaf. They're going back and forth, you know, and they can't come to a conclusion. And the man says, stands up, he says, Imam Sahib, you prayed 3 rakats. And he's like, you know, he's like firm. He's 100% sure, no doubt. So they said, how you know? He said, because you know, every day, when I start my salah, Allahu Akbar, I said, I have 4 shops. And I do the accounting of all my 4 shops, each one in each rakat. Today, I was only able to do 3. So therefore, Imam Sahib, I know you only prayed 3 rakats. You didn't pray 4 rakats. And subhanAllah, you know, Allah safeguard us. That shouldn't be our state. And when we engross ourselves, it's 5 minutes. Salah Hazan, 5 minutes, 10 minutes maximum. That 5-10 minutes, you know, just that 5-10 minutes, we are occupied only. Our hearts are only occupied with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh, the importance of witr. The importance of witr is obviously witr is wajib according to the Hanafis, and it's a sunnah mu'akkada according to the other madhahib. However, it is something which was called is greatly emphasized in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So witr is something which is wajib and needs to be prayed. It's a higher degree. So the thing is, why it's sunnah muakkada according to the other madahi? Because they don't have a concept of wajib. They only have fard, and wajib according to them is fard, and wajib is exactly the same thing. Where the Hanafis have a category of fard, wajib, and sunnah muakkada. That's why they call it wajib. So the other madhahib can't call it fard, but they do believe that it is stronger. They do believe it is stronger than sunnah muakkada, but akad sunnah muakkada, the most emphasized of the sunnah muakkada. So that's how it is. Okay, inshallah, we leave it there. Okay, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, jazakallahu khairan. Hopefully we will see you tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our efforts, accept our fasting, inshallah. Time of iftar, the dua is accepted. I request that you make dua for me. Inshallah, I will make dua for you. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Habib. My name is